Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines, a 5-minute commentary on living.
Through the strange quirk of circumstances, an acquaintance, a man well into his 80s, discovered that his mother was really his aunt, and vice versa. He had been adopted as an infant and never told. In his case, it hadn't mattered, but that is not true of everyone. In many cultures, when a couple has too many children or can't afford to raise another child, the child is adopted by a family member. The adopted child grows up sometimes with rejection, being forced to the level of a domestic servant or a hireling, feeling second class. He gets cast-off clothes, may or may not get an education. He's always reminded that he lives by their charity. Recently, a friend who had adopted a child told how the judge who presided over the adoption asked him and his wife to sign a document saying the child would be legally an heir with all the rights and privileges of a child born to both the husband and wife. That demand, obviously, was to counter the abuses heaped upon some who have been adopted by people who were more interested in cheap labor than a real son or daughter. Question: does God's family include second-class people, those who were never quite good enough to be real members of a church, never included in the social elite, never with enough money to quite fit the mold? A dedicated young woman told me how she so much wanted to join a church and work with children. But when deacons found out that her child had been conceived out of wedlock, they suggested that she not join their fellowship. Yes, she was second class. But is there a second class membership in the flock of the redeemed? Paul would have answered in the negative. Writing to the Galatians, he told them, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." He said, "Because you were sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." First, a word about the term adoption. It was a legal word which literally meant the placing of a son. William Barclay, a noted linguist and authority on first century customs, said under Roman law, adoption meant much more than the concept we have of it today. First, it meant that the child being adopted would become a full legal heir of the adopting parents and could never be excluded, even though a child should be actually born to the parents. Then it meant that the past of the individual thus adopted actually ceased to exist. Under Roman law, a person who was adopted could never be prosecuted for anything in his past. He also received a new name, the old one ceasing to exist, and he had a future which was as bright as the family itself. What a beautiful picture which frames what Paul wrote long ago. God has no second-class children. As Ethel Waters, the black singer who thrilled those who heard her, used to say, "God don't make no flops." The redeeming love of God reaches down, forgives, and accepts freely without reservation. It is possible you've heard me say that one of the saddest letters I've ever received in years of doing this commentary was from a woman who was rejected, raised in an orphanage, and felt second class. She asked, "If God performed plastic surgery to take away the trauma of rejection..." He does, friend. I so much wish that it were possible for me to sit down with you just one-on-one, and then I would listen to you. I'd like to remind you that God has no second-class citizens. When you belong to Him, you are His child. Share with me your story. Email will reach me at guidelines@guidelines.org.